I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement. Today, my guest is Brenda Anderson.
I fundamentally believe that it is not about always making the choices at the high energy end of the spectrum, as I call it, that will bring you high energy returns. Life is not about holding that place at the top of the mountain and being able to be there in that perfect bliss all the time. Life has ebbs and flows, and it's about embracing all of those. And when you don't deny those lower energy aspects of yourself, when you understand why you're in them, you can then learn how to recalibrate and move around that spectrum more quickly and create what you're looking for with much greater ease, much less stress.
Brenda Anderson is Vice President for Global Business Development for Smith Buckland, the world's largest association management company. She also serves as CEO for the Society of Incentive and Travel Executives, a global society with members from 82 countries. She holds a Master of Liberal Arts degree from the University of Chicago and has been named Honorable Professor by Shanghai Normal University. She lectures internationally and lives in Chicago. Welcome, Brenda.
Thanks, Anthony. It's a pleasure to be here.
And you've written a book called Playing the Quantum Field, How Changing Your Choices Can Change Your Life. I understand that you went to the University of Chicago.
I did, yes. So I got one of those rare degrees where I could study ancient Greece, cosmology, all over any subject that I never had time to in my undergrad. So I really got to explore in depth some areas that I had just a sincere interest in learning, none of them which are connected directly to business. I'm CEO for a society, so I'm actually very much in business. And what has intrigued me is these principles and this way of thinking works in business.
That you've written about in the book.
Right. But we have this perception that it's new age thinking, it's fringe thinking. How can you make quantum principles make sense every day when you have to go to work and listen to your boss? And, you know, so it was very important to me to come out with this message about this new way of living, and you can do it in ordinary ways. I fundamentally believe that it is not about always making the choices at the high energy end of the spectrum, as I call it, that will bring you high energy returns. Life is not about holding that place at the top of the mountain and being able to be there in that perfect bliss all the time. Life has ebbs and flows, and it's about embracing all of those. And when you don't deny those lower energy aspects of yourself, when you understand why you're in them, you can then learn how to recalibrate and move around that spectrum more quickly and create what you're looking for with much greater ease, much less stress. So it's kind of the unbook. This isn't about transcending. This is about embracing and taking to you the parts that you push away.
Well, you can't. I've heard people, even like Dr. Phil, say you can't change anything until you accept it.
Exactly.
So that's really what you're talking about, to say, well, where are you?
Well, yes. When you're working in the quantum field, the Newtonian cause and effect thinking, those rules don't apply. This is a very different way to be.
Well, wait a minute. That's one of the things, though, that many people in the culture feel that it is cause and effect.
That's one reality, Anthony. That's one reality.
Right.
And when you're dealing with a quantum field, your thought acts as the beacon to start creating how your life unfolds in front of you. So think of the quantum field like a cosmic QVC. Your thought places the order.
Right.
You and then the field starts pulling it together.
And this is the QVC is the shopping channel.
It is. Okay. You know, it's on 24 hours a day. Anybody can participate.
Right.
It's there whether you use it or not. It's the same thing with the quantum field. But what largely we are unaware of is the power that our thoughts have. So when you place an order with that cosmic QVC, be very clear on the what and get out of the way of the how. And that's why in life we often struggle with what we're trying to create. We get attached to how we think that intention or that goal will come into place. I'll give you an example that just grounds this in everyday terms. A friend of mine was turning 40 and her clock was ticking. She wanted to have kids and she wanted to meet a husband. And none of that was happening. So she was starting to date some men that were just really not appropriate for her. And she became aware of those, you know, that type of thinking and where it was leading her. So she said, I want a child. I'm just going to adopt. So that's exactly what she did. And guess what happened? Within 6 months at daycare, she met her future husband. So that's what she did a great job of. She was clear on the what. She ordered the what. And then she got out of the way of how that would come to her. So she was looking for a husband and a child, but she didn't get it in the order that you typically would.
Right.
And that's a really good example of how we often don't see things coming our way because the reality that we're looking at, the one that we're focused on.
Nose to the grindstone. Got to go to work every day. Got to make it happen. Make it work for you. You know, so try to be in control.
Right. And control is a myth. We do not have control over anything but the choices we make. And even then...
You mean as individuals?
As individuals.
Yeah.
And even then, when you're operating in what I call is the fear zone of that energy spectrum, even then, those four choices are in emotion. And those are typically addictions. So it's a very difficult place to pull away from.
Well, gosh, emotions are really basic, though.
They're very basic. And they're hardwired into us at a very young age. What triggers us? You know, based on our environment and
conditioning you're speaking of.
Absolutely.
So we are naturally responding to our conditioning.
Right.
And you talk about in part two of your book, comfort zones, head troops, loops, and magnets. Can you talk about those?
Sure. The idea is every day.
And this is about emotions, right?
Yeah. And to just give you a bigger context, the book is based on 10 choices that govern our day-to-day reality. And I put those choices on something I call the energy spectrum. And four of those choices are in the fear zone or low energy. And six of those choices are in the power zone or high energy. Now, Anthony, you'll notice I never say good or bad, right or wrong, because that doesn't exist in the quantum field. It's very literal. So low energy isn't a bad thing. Being in a black hole or being in a loop, that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. It just means it's a choice that's going to give you a lower return on energy. And so when you make that choice, you aren't going to be creating what you want.
Isn't that sort of a cause and effect thing, though?
No.
Really?
No. Not in the Newtonian thinking.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
How is that other than a choice? I mean, how is it other than a cause and effect? Because when I choose something, then... isn't that a cause that brings the effect?
The frame that I look at it from is this. Whatever you put your thoughts to expands. Have you ever seen an old Star Trek rerun where there's one episode where Captain Kirk is trying to blast this big blob out of outer space? And so he shoots phasers at it to try and annihilate it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of it dissipating, it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's the same way with your thinking. What you put your focus on expands and becomes the dominant reality in your life.
What you're attending to.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so when you're in the fear zone, you're often in an emotional reaction. You've been triggered and it's bringing in an emotional reaction. And those can often be harder to deal with because they feel so real and because on a cellular level, they're wired into your cells.
Oh, yeah.
There's fascinating information out there that connects, you know, the mind and the body. And when you have a cellular memory, you're going to have a reaction. So this explains why when you're having that same argument with your spouse every morning and you get so mad about it and you can't let it go, it's because it's triggering and bringing in something from that part of you. So it's, you know, we're kind of going deep into this piece, which isn't as important as understanding that when you're in the fear zone, mm-hmm. when you're operating there, It's a slippery slope, and it's easy to go from one low-energy choice to the next and to the next.
Well, you don't think very well when you're in the fear zone.
You think very well.
But, I mean, it shuts down the frontal cortex because all the information, all the energy is put together. All the focus is put on surviving. And there's not a lot of executive decision-making going on other than got to survive.
Right. And what that does, then, it creates a field of dominance, and it affects all your other abilities to see any other possible reality. So then that becomes the focal point. That becomes the dominant reality. And, you know, fear feeds fear, and it creates more low-energy thinking. It can be a very diminished state to operate in.
Yeah. And it really seems... And I wanted to say, too, about during the last political campaign, there seemed to be an awful lot of fear-mongering going on. And I said to myself, well, I'm going to choose whether to be afraid or not. You know, and a lot of people were saying, oh, my gosh, it'll be such, and I'm so afraid if that person gets elected or that person gets elected. And I'm saying, I'm going to make the choice. I'm going to stay level-headed, and I'm going to be able to respond in the minute. Rather than, oh, what if?
Right. Right. And we always have a choice in how we respond. There is always a choice. And fear, it's very, very seductive. It's very easy for fear to spread. It takes much less consciousness to operate in fear than it does to operate in power. And there's a big difference between control and power versus force. And I think often we get caught up in trying to operate in force, when if you come at things from a point of power, it's very different. I'll give you an example from business.
Oh, it's a real relaxed state.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Power is.
It's very relaxed, but it's easy to try to want to control and to shape outcomes. And when you...
Oh, I better have this or I'm going to get fired.
Right.
Yeah.
And when that happens,
Rather than trusting.
Yeah. And it's not even so much trusting. Here's an example that'll lay it out for you. I once had one of the most incredibly gifted salespeople working for me, and he had amazing results. And every month I'd go visit him in Texas and say, great job. You know, how's it going? Everything's good, except it's important that I get your reports in because you affect so much of our revenue. We've got to have your projections in every month. Oh, sure, no problem, Brenda. I'll get that right to you. So I'd get back to Chicago. There'd be no report. So I'd go down to see him the next month, and I'd say, you're doing a great job, but now the CEO is on my case. We've got to get this report in. And he'd say, sure, Brenda, no problem. And I'd get back to Chicago, no report. When I stopped and realized, what was it that was really going on here? What was my intention? My intention was to help him be the best he could be at his job. But what I was doing was operating from a place of force, where I was trying to get a report from him that he didn't even value, that didn't help him.
You were commanding him, produce this report.
Exactly. I was operating in force. Mm-hmm. And when I realized what I was doing, finally, I went down to see him, and we sat down, and I said, look, I know you don't want to do this, but I need this. So how can we work together to make this happen? And within 5 minutes, we'd solved it. And before I landed in Chicago, the report was there. That's the difference between operating from power versus force. When you're in force, you're trying to affect outcomes. You're trying to coerce and manipulate. When you're in power, it's very different. Things come together rather magically.
Well, because you know that it's not a question of whether or not you can do it. It's more a matter of when. Is that right?
I'm not sure what you mean there.
Well, it's more a question of not whether I can get the report or not, or whether I'm valuable or not, or whether I can get done what I have to have done. It's more, well, when is this going to happen? It's more of an expectation and saying, if you're in a place of power, it's more about that you're not afraid it isn't going to happen.
Yeah, and you're willing to just go to the core
right.
to get it done.
Yeah.
You're not doing it from the, you know, I am your boss, you will do it because I asked you place.
Yeah, that's a real curious point. So it's more about, that's a stance of more force over than power over.
Correct.
Well, I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement. My guest is Brenda Anderson, and she's written a book called Playing the Quantum Field, and we're going to be right back. I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement, and I'm talking with my guest, Brenda Anderson, and you've written a book called Playing the Quantum Field. And before the break, we were talking about the use of force or power, and that power was much more of a, not exactly a benign state, but much more of a relaxed state than attempts at control.
Well, when you're operating from power, that's when obstacles fall away. That's when consensus is gained. That's when you really move forward. When you're operating from force, that's when the meetings don't go well. You have the same arguments in your relationships. The same patterns of disruption occur. So if you've been trying to create something in your life and it's just not happening and you can't figure out why, chances are you've been operating in force. You're trying to will something versus coming at it from a place of power.
Well, that can be a real intimidating thing to even think about, because some people who operate from that place are real reluctant to admit that, which comes back to your point at the beginning of the show that you said about, well, you have to be willing to find out where you are before you can change it.
Right. And keep in mind, there's always going to be, you always have a choice in how you're spending your energy. And if you're working with people that are draining you and that no matter what you try to do, you just can't please them, at some point you need to make a decision. Is this someone that I want to continue interacting with? And if it's your boss, you need to find a way to work with them where it's not, you know, stealing from your soul, if you will, where you don't feel that
it gets awfully expensive with those kinds of folks.
Oh, sure it does.
I mean, emotionally and psychologically and psychically expensive.
But you have a choice. You have a choice with how you respond to that. And that's why understanding where you are on the spectrum, you can move more freely back and forth and be less stressed when someone is operating from that low energy place. Because remember, you can't change them.
No.
You can only change your response.
Right.
And I used to think, up until about 5 years ago, I really felt if you threw enough love and concern and compassion at a situation, you could lift it, you could move it. But I've learned that's not really the way. Think of the Komodo dragon. No matter how much you love a Komodo dragon, no matter how much you care for a Komodo dragon, if given the chance, the Komodo dragon will always eat you. That's because it's his purpose. That's what he's there for. That's what he does. It's not good. It's not bad. He will eat you. So take a look, you know, who are the Komodo dragons in your life? Where are situations where no matter when you get involved, you always get eaten, and redirect your energy and your focus.
So how do we, certainly the first part of making a choice to change is recognizing where you are. But how do we practically then move from that force to that state of power?
Well, it's just
really unreachable sometimes.
If it seems unreachable, it's because you're operating so much in force that, you know, that you aren't able to see the forest through the trees, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So it means you're overthinking, you're over processing, you're doing something I call head tripping. Head tripping is a low energy choice, and head tripping is when you replay the same scenarios and what ifs over and over and over in your mind until that becomes your only reality.
Well, and then you welcome that, because you talk about magnets, about those kinds of thought patterns attracting maybe new people, but the same situation happens to unfold because you haven't gone to the root of it, right?
You're right. Like attracts like. And if you're operating at a frequency that is, you know, in the low energy of the spectrum, you're going to become a beacon for all those other people operating at that same frequency. I mean, think about it. You're at the office and someone's complaining about something. And before you know it, five or six people are standing around. Yeah, that was really a bad meeting, and that is such a lousy boss. And, it turns into this giant complaining session. Like attracts like. And be very conscious when that happens to you, if you're drawing in a lot of negativity in your life, or people that really are operating from that place, chances are it's because you're operating at that frequency. So you have to take a look at where you are on that spectrum to understand why you seem to be drawing that in. Because it's everything that you see in the outside world is a direct reflection of what's happening inside you. It's a mirror. And when you're living like a quantum citizen, it's very accountable living.
A quantum citizen? I never thought of it. Heard that term before.
No, it's a new way to live. And it holds you so accountable.
What does this have to do with quantum physics? I mean, I'm puzzled.
Quantum, the basis of this work is on the fact that we are all interconnected. And there's been many theories that on a subatomic level.
And you're speaking about Bell's theorem of non-locality?
Yes, where everything operates independently and interdependent. And now there's been a lot of work in the last 10 to 15 years looking at the fact that we are interconnected, that nothing happens in isolation. The zero point field theories that we are all connected.
Well, then, boy, that's very different than the Newtonian zero-sum game.
Right, and that's why I was saying this way of living is not the cause and effect Newtonian way. It's not.
But that's going to mean that business will have to really change if people are to embrace this.
No, Anthony, that means that you and I are going to have to change.
Oh.
It starts right with you. It starts with me.
With each person.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How does that work?
Well, again, it's just being conscious of what I've done in the book is I use energy as a metaphor so that the reader can experience quantum shifts in their life right now. So it's once you experience it, you can understand how the power of your thoughts is affecting your reality. And we all have multiple realities going on right now. One reality is I'm sitting here talking to you. Another reality is I need to be at a bookstore signing tonight. Another reality is I have three voicemails that I have to get back to people at work. Another, you know, we could go on and on. Each one of us has many realities happening at any moment. And the amazing point of all this is it's the one that your thought goes to that becomes your dominant reality. And when you understand how your thoughts are impacting that, you can shift. You can learn to create different outcomes in your life. You asked me, what does this have to do with quantum physics?
Right.
It's based in quantum physics, but the examples in the book and how I direct it from the book is in a very 101 user-friendly way.
It's, oh, good.
Have you seen What the Bleep?
Yes.
All right. So it's very similar to those concepts, but it shows you, okay, instead of getting all tripped out on what does it really mean, because you can really go deep into that, these are practical ways on a day-to-day basis that you can try and live that way.
That have validity.
Right.
And they're actually, in my study of this, who is the most pragmatic, mechanistic of all the sciences, and that would be the physicists, because they're trying to say, okay, well, you know, we got to measure it. It's mm-hmm. got to be, you know, and yet, in a very curious way, when they went to measure farther and farther in to the nature of matter, it began to open up in a very curious way that was completely unexpected.
Yes.
About this non-locality, about the connectedness of everything. And I was going to say, the thought occurred to me is that, well, if you're working with a difficult boss and you change yourself, in spite of them, it's going to change them because
yes.
they're connected to you.
Yes.
Is that's really what you're saying? And it will change your workplace.
Right.
You've made the decision.
I call that the energy edge. Yeah, exactly. Because it has a ripple effect. But here is the caveat. You aren't doing it to change the person you're interacting with. You're doing it because you choose it. It's your thoughts you're changing that create it.
All because.
So if you're operating from trying to do this work so that you can change your boss or your spouse, it's not going to work.
Because it's still the old control paradigm.
Yeah, and you're attaching to an outcome and you're having an intention to get, you know, to manipulate a result.
So you don't attach to an outcome.
Right. Remember how we talked about that example in the beginning? You get very clear on the what, but you let the how come to you.
Well, isn't what an outcome? Isn't the what
No, what
an
is your stated intention? And in my analogy,
oh,
what is your stated intention?
Right,
yeah.
Right. So you have an intention that you hold, like this lady wanted to be married and have a child.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not necessarily an outcome.
No, that was her intention. That's what she wanted.
Right.
But she got out of the way of how it came to her.
Oh, right.
So, you know, if you're, for example, she could have looked at it as, I'm going to meet that man when I'm at an event out with people, when I'm wearing my favorite dress and looking the way I want to look, whatever it is.
I've got to meet that person over here at
yes.
this time.
And instead, she met him 6 months after she adopted a child at daycare. That's what I'm talking about. We get so wrapped up in the how, we figure it out in our mind because we feel safe by doing that. And we get so caught up in that that, you know, her husband could have been standing next to her on the stair step or at the gym and she'd miss it.
Because the universe is way bigger than our thought pattern.
We cannot begin to comprehend it.
One of the things I said to a friend of mine who wanted to understand about Buddhism, actually, I thought for a minute and I said, okay, here's a way I can translate it for you. And basically, this was to do with the Diamond Sutra, and it the way that I translated it was, if you can think of it, it's already too small.
That's a good way of putting
Isn't that
it.
Cool?
Yeah, yeah.
So, my goodness. So this actually making the choice personally to change your own awareness, and we're coming up on a break here, but I'd like to go through some of the specific things that we can do to change our awareness and change our life through our choices by holding an intention, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement, and I'm talking with my guest, Brenda Anderson, who has written a book called Playing the Quantum Field, How Changing Your Choices Can Change Your Life. And is there a way that people can contact you, Brenda?
Yes, they can go to my website, www.quantumties.com.
Okay, and you prefer that rather than a phone number, or is there a phone number?
The website is the best.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. All right, I'm Anthony Wright. I'm your host today on Attunement and talking with my guest, Brenda Anderson, and we'll be right back. I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement. And we're talking with my guest, Brenda Anderson, who has written a book called Playing the Quantum Field, How Changing Your Choices Can Change Your Life. And we were talking before the break, Brenda, about how does a person do this? And you were saying, first of all, that you need to hold an intention.
Right. Well, again, it comes back to understanding that in the course of any given day, you know, we have over 66,000 thoughts in any given day. So understanding the power of those thoughts and where it lands you on this energy spectrum gives you the tools to understanding how to make different choices. And I don't say better because it's as we, you know, mentioned, I think, before the break, it's okay to be in a black hole. It's okay to be in a low energy choice because that's often where we do our deepest learning. And that's where we morph and where we grow. So I've never regretted my time in a black hole. I sure don't like being there. It's not it's a painful thing, but we often are too quick. We believe we understand why something is happening, and to deal with it, we come to a premature evaluation.
Well, and you say something like that in your chapter 7, suspend judgment.
Yes. Yeah, before the situation is even played out, we believe we will not know why, and we've moved on to the next course of action. And in doing that, you often miss the gifts that are in front of you.
So you believe you know why the situation was what it is, and then you try and make a change, but without really understanding.
Yeah, it hasn't played out. I mean, an example I give in the book on suspend judgment, and that's the gateway choice to moving from low energy to high energy. And learning how to suspend judgment is the quickest way into high energy thinking. Because when you suspend judgment, you suspend judgment and outcomes and opinions on others and situations. And it allows you to be in a place of openness so that other events can come in.
Gosh, that's so hard sometimes, though.
It is. It is. But the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Oh, okay. So even if you come up against something and you found that you, oh, that person is always that way, it's time to step back and say, well, wait, now maybe I don't understand what they're going through or where they're coming from, because they may not always be that way.
Well, and the question should,
and that softens it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And to your point, it shouldn't be they're always that way. It should be, why do I always respond to them this way? That's where you should be going with that. Because right. When you suspend judgment, you're leaving that open. I tell a story in the book about a friend of mine who purchased a really expensive sofa, the most she's ever spent on any piece of furniture in her life, and she loved it. And she moved out of the house that she'd had it in after several years. It didn't fit into her new place. And so she stored it in the garage because she didn't know what else to do with it. And her contractor that she was working with noticed it and said, hey, what's with the sofa in the garage? What are you going to do with that? She said, oh, I suppose I should get rid of it. Well, she got home from work that day, drove into the garage, and guess what? No sofa. It was gone. And so she didn't know what on earth had happened. She called the contractor and said, Peter, where's my sofa? What's happened? And he said, oh, I thought you'd be happy. One of the contractors that dropped off some materials was able to load the sofa and take it away. And she said, take it away? How much did you get for it? What did he pay you? Well, he didn't pay anything. I gave it to him. So Peter misunderstood. He thought that sofa was something she wanted to get rid of. And she said, you've got to get it back. That's the most expensive thing I've ever had in my life. I need that back. And she started going into a low energy spin. By the end of the night, she actually believed that Peter and the contractor were in cahoots on this together, trying to work out something. And have you ever done that? You've been so in the deep thinking of something going on that you almost get a little paranoid. I've done that. And the point here is,
a lot of that's going on these days, unfortunately.
Oh, we're seeing it in our government. We're seeing yes. it everywhere. So instead of going into that place that further kept her in low energy, she caught herself. And she said, I'm going to suspend judgment. I'm going to believe that there's more going on here.
But that's a real effort of will.
It's a choice. Okay. It's a choice. And so she did. And she called Peter the next morning and said, I've been thinking about it, and here's the deal. Tell this man, if he enjoys the sofa half as much as I have, that I'll be happy. And Peter said, wait, let me get this straight.
You mean, did she lighten up? My goodness.
She didn't lighten up. She suspended judgment.
Oh, I see. So lightening up is something else.
Yeah, that's something else. That's another high energy choice.
Okay, but finish your story, please.
You fast forwarded on me there, Anthony.
Yeah.
So when she told him this, he said, let me get this straight. You're saying the sofa has a destiny. And she said, well, I guess I'm saying that. Yeah, I guess there's a destiny for this sofa. So she was fine with it, and she felt really good. And 2 days later, she got a call from the contractor, and he said, you won't believe what happened. I found out that the man that you gave this to, the reason he couldn't pay you any money for it, was his wife has been battling cancer, and all of their money has gone to pay for the treatments. And because of you, he was able to give her a Valentine's Day gift she will never forget. That's the power of suspending judgment. Why do we rush through situations always assuming worst-case scenarios? When you suspend judgment, you leave open the possibility that there's something bigger at work. And to this day, when you talk to Gillian, she thinks this is the best thing she's done all year, to touch someone that deeply. And she didn't even consciously, as you would use the word, will it to happen. She just suspended judgment. Mm-hmm. And that's the magic of playing the quantum field. It's a very different way of operating. So suspending judgment is key. Being able to move to that, and it will help you move through situations.
It's a very different way of ordering your natural experience in life.
Well, there is no order. That's the point. There's no order. The only order is in your choice. It's your thought.
I'm talking about we're conditioned in the West here to live in a certain way and have certain expectations. And this is a very different way of going about life.
Oh, it's very nonlinear. And it's not Western at all. It's unlike what we know. And that's why I call it living like a quantum citizen. You're really living inside out. You become the beacon that attracts to your life what you are trying to create.
Well, you do anyway, though. You are anyway, right?
But mostly we're not conscious about it, are we?
No.
We feel like victims. We think it's happening to us. Mm-hmm. How can we possibly create a disaster? How can we possibly be responsible for some of the, you know, for being fired from our job when it was a layoff? How are we? All these things that come up, it's very easy to feel like it's happening to you and that you have...
Or because of you. Or
correct.
That you had some part to play, which it's you did have some part to play, but it's not necessarily contingent on a decision you made or
yes.
an action that you did.
And we unfortunately mostly believe it is. When something bad happens, we feel, you know, if we head trip long enough, we can come up with a way where if we'd done something differently, we wouldn't have created that outcome. Or if I would have said this, or if I would have done this, would have, should have, could have. It's really, really a hard way to live. It's the judgment that you're putting on yourself mm-hmm. is so tough. And I always tell my audiences, treat yourself with the same compassion that you would treat a friend that was going through a hard time. Mm-hmm. Start there.
So the first thing is to, or of your 10 energetic choices in the power zone, the first one is to suspend judgment, and the next one is to lighten up.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that.
Well, there's a lot. There's six choices in the high energy side of the spectrum, and
right.
all of them are gateways into high energy thinking. Lighten up.
And they're available at any time.
Yeah, there's no order to it.
Okay.
You really just move to what works for you. Mm-hmm. And lighten up, that's the ability to laugh at yourself and really lighten what's happening. Because we know when you laughter, endorphins are released, and it shifts. It shifts everything in the room. When I was going on the first leg of the book tour, I was running late, got to the airport. It was packed. Security took days.
Right.
And by the time I got onto the plane, we were already horribly behind. And I thought, how am I going to make that first interview? And as we were getting ready to take off, they had to abort takeoff because something was wrong with the plane. So we all had to get off the plane. By this time, I was in low energy. I was in a major head trip, you know, thinking about all of these low energy thoughts. I'm going to be late. It's not going to happen. Oh, no. I was going into that spiral. And I thought, okay, I wrote the book. I can deal with this. I'm going to shift here. So I consciously moved to suspend judgment, said, you know, we're going to be fine. I went, I got a cup of coffee, I got a bagel, and I was still wrapped up in this downward spiral. I had not made the shift yet. I was still in this intensity. And I noticed all these people in the airport looking at my backside. And I couldn't figure it out. And I was starting to get really uncomfortable. And I was feeling very self-conscious. And by the time I sat down, I felt this rustle. And I looked behind me, and on my backside was a Velcro sticker that said, "Fresh Baguette, $5.75. I'd been walking through the airport. When I got the bagel, I turned and brushed up against the counter, and the Velcro label attached to me. So what that did, I just started laughing. And the people around me, when they saw me peel it off, they started laughing. And it shifted the energy. It shifted the intensity. And it allowed me to move to the high end of the energy spectrum. Mm-hmm. Because remember, what your thoughts go to is where your attention goes. It creates that field of dominance. So had I stayed in that low energy head tripping place, I could have created just a really, really bad day. And we've all been around people like that, where they're having a really bad day and they want to take you down too. And it's not that they're consciously directing it at you, but that's just the frequency that they're operating at.
Yeah, and none for me, thanks.
Yeah, and again, that's a choice. It's a choice.
Right.
You know, bless them and move on.
Right, right. Well, we're coming up to a break here. How can people contact you?
Through the website at www.quantumties.com.
Great. I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement, and we're talking with my guest Brenda Anderson, and she's written a book called Playing the Quantum Field, How Changing Your Choices Can Change Your Life. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today on Attunement, and we're talking with my guest Brenda Anderson, and she's written a book, Playing the Quantum Field, How Changing Your Choices Can Change Your Life. And before the break, you were talking about that there were six choices of going into the high energy power zone. Tell us about tuning in.
Tuning in is one of my favorites because we live in a world that is so wired. You know, 24/7, we're dealing with technology. We've got our Blackberries, our mobile phones. We have our PDFs. It's amazing to me. I travel all over the world, and whether I'm in Cambodia or South Africa or Iceland, everyone has that mobile phone glued to their ear. Everyone is out of disconnect with everyone else, but completely, you know, addicted to their electronics. So tuning in is really about letting go of the wired world and tuning in on the human being in front of you right now. So think about this as I'm describing this. Who in your life has been with you when you've got that glazed over look and you're trying to make eye contact, but you're working on the BlackBerry? Yeah. Oh, I'm listening. But you just can't let go of that last email. There's been studies that show your brain chemistry shifts when you spend more than 2 hours a week on this stuff. So just know that you're fighting brain chemistry and that it's not you alone. You've got some biological, you know, stress happening there. And just be conscious of it. Think about your children. Think about your friends. Think about your spouse, your boss. Are you giving people your one-on-one undivided attention? I was in Beijing for a meeting and had landed and was very jet-lagged and really operating in low energy and said, you know, I've got a dinner, so I'm going to run to the gym and, you know, try and get grounded here. And while I was in the gym, I noticed these two men that were very peculiar. And they were peculiar in that they were Americans, but they wouldn't acknowledge me. And normally when you're traveling abroad and you see other Americans, you at least say hello. So I kept walking by, hello, hi, nothing. It was very weird. And I noticed it and just made note of it. Went to my dinner that night and I'm talking to everyone and everyone's complaining. Oh, so tired, such a long flight. We've got long meetings tomorrow. Everyone's in low energy. You know, slip into the next lowest choice. And someone said, you know what? I heard President Clinton's in the building. And I said, really? I would love to meet President Clinton. And they said, yeah, right. Like you could ever meet President Clinton. And I said, yeah, you're right. I'm tired. I look awful. I need to go to bed. You're right. So during the course of the dinner, I realized, why was I doing that? I wanted to meet President Clinton. Why was I getting pulled into that low energy thinking? So when we went to the elevator bank, they all went up to their rooms and they said, Brenda, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to go meet President Clinton. And they said, yeah, right. That's going to happen. So I used one of the choices in the book called scanning to locate where he was. And when I found the room that he was speaking in, I just was very clear and just tuned in to where the activity was, where everyone was moving, and I stood in the area that I felt he would be walking by. And sure enough, 10 minutes later, he came by and I reached out my hand and I said, Mr. President, it's a pleasure to meet you. And do you know what he said? It's a pleasure to meet you, but who are you? He had the ability to tune in, unlike anyone I'd ever experienced. I felt like no one else in that room existed. He completely tuned in. He had a flurry of activity around him, wanted to know where I was from, what business I was doing there, what it was that I did. He, of course, asked a lot about Chicago because Hillary's from there. So we had this lovely discussion, and in the middle of the discussion, these two men from the gym that I'd noticed earlier came up and said, "Would you like your picture taken with the president?" And I said, "It's you." And they said, "We're Secret Service and we can't, you know, we don't talk to people. We don't do that." But because I noticed and made an effort, they went out of their way with me too. So tuning in, I mean, I share this example because I tuned in to really notice where my energy was going. And then I really got to experience someone who's a master at tuning in. And when you've been around someone that has that ability, you really have an appreciation for what a gift that is. So try this today. When you hear this, think of someone in your life that you have not been tuning in with. And just when you get home or get to work or wherever it is that you would see them, just give them the benefit of your undivided attention without your BlackBerry, without your cell phone, without your mind racing to the next thing that you need to do. And see what happens. See what shifts. In the quantum field, the work happens without you consciously being aware of it. Just try it.
That's such a profound story. And I'll bet, knowing what I've heard of President Clinton, that if he met you today, he'd remember.
That, you know, that's what I've been told, that he's just amazing that way. And frankly, having spoken to him as briefly as I did, I've just never seen anyone that could fully focus so much on one person and make you feel that heard. It's an amazing gift. And it reminds me every day of the power I have in choosing that.
So you said when you located where he was that you were scanning. So tell us about the choice of scanning.
Well, scanning is when you take in, it's tuning in is a one-on-one situation. Scanning is when you take in an entire environment. And so I noticed the activity in the hotel. I noticed where the clerks were. I noticed where the security people were. I noticed where no one was. And I just started scanning. It's a very high-level sweep of the energy going on around you. But some people are better at it than others. Mothers are natural at it with their children. Fathers
better ought to be.
Yeah, and fathers can be very much the same way. It's not something only mothers can do. Mm-hmm. So it's scanning is being in a real relaxed state of observation. So you can take in the environment without your lens filtering it.
Well, and at the same time, in my experience of that, in that scanning, it's because the whole environment actually is me, and it's checking out that part of me that I hadn't been attending to.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So knowing that your moon is Sagittarius, tell us about tapping the truth.
Is there anything else that really matters?
Right.
We really underestimate telling the truth.
The power of the
and the power of truth. And in business especially, we think it's acceptable to tell white lies. Even in our family situations, often we feel that's okay because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings, or we're afraid if we tell them the truth, they won't be able to handle it. Or maybe if I avoid it long enough, I won't have to address it. And all of that carries an energy with it. Whenever you're not in integrity with your thoughts, feelings, words, and actions, it's going to show up. And tapping the truth is one of the easiest ways to move into that high energy place. And when you approach a situation or what you perceive as a problem, when you come at it from the perspective of sharing the truth in a way that's not, you know, you're not doing it to get something, you're sharing it because that's your view, it won't backfire. It won't backfire. If you come at it with love and compassion.
Somebody may else choose to react, but that has very little to do with you.
Yes, and often, as I've learned the hard way, often it's my belief that they're going to react a certain way that contributes to that. There's an example I share in the book. In one of my roles, I brought in a very big client for our company, and it was a very, very difficult transition. It did not go well. And during the final negotiations, the client really was in disconnect with the CEO of the company. They didn't feel good about that relationship. And so it got to the point where they said, look, we're going to work with you, but we don't want to have him involved. And I said, okay, that's fine. And I thought I could just continue to work with them. But it got to the point where the CEO wanted full involvement. So I was put in the position of, how do I tell the CEO the client doesn't want to work with them? And this CEO especially was known for their volatility and for their very good at high level control. What, you know, it's a characteristic that often many CEOs have. And I knew this message wouldn't be welcome. And I knew that I would get yelled at. I knew that it might affect my, you know, I started head tripping. What if I don't get my bonus? What if I get laid off? What if I get fired? What if I'm taken off that fast track? I had all of those low energy thoughts. So I had to suspend judgment and go to that place of thinking, I am just going to tell the truth. I'm going to go in and meet with him and just state the truth and just keep coming back to that. And that's exactly what I did. And I went in, and sure enough, I said, you know, the client is fully engaged and wants to stay with us, but they want their interactions with me. They don't want to be working with you. And the first reaction was, well, that's because you made it that way. You don't want them to, you know. And I said, I really don't think that's the case. They're very happy here. This is what they want. How can we make this work so that the company wins and the client wins and we just feel good about it? And then some more emotions came out. And then I just came back to, I just really think this is what they want. Is there a way we can make this work so that we're all happy? So each assault, if you will, I had to go back to the core truth and just have the courage to hang in that gap. And I so wanted to answer and rescue and say, you know, come up with a reason why. Well, it's because, you know, in those negotiations, maybe they misunderstood your intention. And that's a tendency I have to do when I see people in duress. I want to extend, you know, some safety, you know, out of it. Yeah. And that was not going to get me anywhere. So I really had to focus in on just state the issue and get out of the way and let the truth do it. And when you're operating at that frequency, if you stay true to it, the other person you're interacting with has a choice. They can join you at that frequency or not. And I believe that when you state, you know, the intention from that unattached place of, look, here's what it is. I don't know what the answer is, but can we find one? That's the power. So I actually...
Well, that's in good faith, too.
Well, it is, and it takes a lot of courage because you don't walk into your CEO's office without a plan, and that's precisely what I did, even though before that I'd head-tripped several different approaches. But I knew the final way to do it was to just go in with that truth. Not an easy thing to do.
No. And I want to actually jump to the last energetic choice in your power zone of energy and talk about breakthrough.
Well, breakthrough, it's not a choice. It's what happens. It's actually a result of moving around on that spectrum, just like black hole is. So that's not actually one of the 10 choices, but it's what happens. And the interesting thing about breakthrough is it's when you accept all of those low energy aspects and parts of yourself that the breakthrough happens. You can't force yourself or, you know, through a low energy spot with the intention of getting the breakthrough. It comes in the full surrendering of it that the breakthrough happens by default. And that's the magic of the quantum field. You know, you can't be in a black hole and say, I'm going to get out of this black hole so that I can get into breakthrough. You have to fully be in it for the reasons that you're there. And once you surrender to that, then the breakthrough happens. So that, and again, you don't learn these lessons once and then not do them again. That's not life. That's not what it's about. That's not what we're here for. So, you know, someone asked me last night at one of the, book signings, don't you feel a lot of pressure having written this that you have to live up to it? And I said, well, absolutely not. I just have to live in it. And I do that really well.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We're going to have to stop. I'm Anthony Wright, and I'm your host today. And we've been talking with my guest, Brenda Anderson, who's written a book called Playing the Quantum Field, How Changing Your Choices Can Change Your Life. And how can people contact you, Brenda?
They can contact me through the website, www.quantumties.com.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
To order CDs of this and other of my shows, please go to my website, www.attunement.biz. That's attunement.biz, or call toll-free 1-877-833-6220. Again, that's 1-877-833-6220. Or in the San Francisco Bay Area, call 415-721-9977. Again, 415-721-9977. This is program number 25.